This is North Shore Today for Wednesday, May 22, 2024. In our headlines, the Peabody Public Schools are dealing with some budget concerns. Marblehead's search for an interim school superintendent took a turn, and now there is only one candidate remaining. And Senator Bruce Tarr is calling for more MBTA oversight. Weather today, sunny, temperatures near 90 degrees, and we'll have a high tide tonight at 11:30. I'm Bill Newell. Rick Moore is off today. The news is powered by Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire. Moynihan Lumber, supporting local news coverage and supporting the North Shore. The Peabody Public Schools may be facing a budget shortfall. Rochelle Malad reports in today's Daily Item that the city and school leaders discussed at last night's school committee the possible need for reductions in operating costs, some due to reductions in state funding. This is Mayor Ted Betancourt on one of the items that has triggered budget concerns.
Health insurance. This year, health insurance went up across the board. We have Blue Cross Blue Shield. Went up 9.95%. That's by far the biggest health insurance increase that I've ever dealt with. That, to give you some understanding of the number, it's about a $1.6 million increase to the budget right off the bat. And to give you a sense of what the tax impact on that is, that's about $65 to $70 tax increase just on health insurance.
Mayor Ted Betancourt, School Superintendent Josh Vidala.
Last week we came together and we said we need to reduce the budget. We need to reduce the budget, but we need to do it in a way that does not cut people. We're going to cut things. We're going to tighten our belts. We're going to find other funding sources. And we successfully cut $2.5 million to get to a budget of $96 million with an ask of the city of $59 million. If we can't fund this budget, this is a good budget, and I know that we need to make more cuts, more reductions. If we can't fund this budget, I ask that we go to what the state has put out as the minimum contribution, which would be a $58 million commitment from the city and $37 million from Chapter 70. If you fund us with the minimum, we can save everybody's job, we can make sure that we support our teachers, and we continue the great work that we're doing.
Peabody School Superintendent Josh Vidala. You can hear more of that presentation later here on North Shore Today Extra as it aired on Peabody Access TV. There is a push in Salem to hold drivers accountable for passing stopped school buses. The move is similar to an effort that has been underway in Peabody. Caroline Enos reports in the Salem News today that Salem will add stop arm cameras to its school buses for the upcoming school year. Both cities received the technology through a grant from Bus Patrol America, LLC, a Virginia-based company that develops this type of technology. The search for an interim school superintendent in Marblehead took an unusual turn this week. Ryan Vermette reports in the Daily Item that one of the two finalists has withdrawn from consideration. Marblehead School Committee Chair Sarah Fox announced that candidate Barbara Cataldo and interim student services director in Hingham has withdrawn from consideration. This leaves the other finalist, John Robidoux, Swansea school superintendent. In political news, Stephen Hagan writes in today's Gloucester Times that Rockport's Jonathan Ring and Gloucester's Eileen Duff will face each other for a seat on the Registry of Deeds, Essex County Southern District. Ring is a Democrat, Duff is a Republican. State Senator Bruce Tarr says that the MBTA needs a control board again. Chris Lozinski, State House reporter for the Gloucester Times, writes today that Tarr's proposed board would effectively take over the MBTA board of directors for 4 to 6 years and work to achieve fiscal and management stability at the T. The issue of beach erosion in Salisbury will be getting $1 million from the Healey administration. Matt Perry reports in today's Daily News that a $1.75 million investment will provide an interim dune nourishment project at Salisbury Beach that will also help to protect the section of Route 1A and nearby infrastructure against flooding. Sports is next, followed by North Shore Today Extra.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
If you're a soap bar user and you're always annoyed by the fact that when you use your entire bar, you're stuck with this little sliver of soap that you don't know what to do with, hold on, because I think I have the solution for you. It's always a pain to have that little sliver of soap that we didn't really know how to use but didn't want to waste and throw away. So we invented this cute cube-shaped soap bar that then you can place your old little soap sliver right into. There's a carved out X in the center of the bar that then you can place your old soap sliver into. You just break up that little sliver into pieces that are two or three and it fits right inside. And bam, now you've got a brand new soap bar and you didn't have to waste anything. If that's something you're interested in and you want to support a sustainable small business, then head on over to our shop at exobath.com. You can buy one for yourself or give it as a gift. It ships anywhere in the United States and you can get 20% off your first order.
Click on to the Exobath banner at the top of our website.
This is MSO Sports bringing voice to the North Shore. The Celtics beat the Indiana Pacers last night in overtime, 133-128 in the opening game of the Eastern Conference Championships. After leading much of the game, the Celtics found themselves trailing with seconds to play in regulation. That's when Jaylen Brown nailed a three-point shot from the left corner to tie the game and send it into overtime. Game two is tomorrow night at the Garden. The Red Sox picked up a 5-2 win last night against the Rays in Florida. The two teams will play again tonight. A week ago, the Beverly High softball team stunned a very talented Peabody Tanners team. Yesterday, the Tanners got their revenge, a 14-2 win over Beverly. Beverly is now 10-2 in the conference, Peabody 11-1 in Northeastern Conference play. In high school baseball, Peabody beat Beverly 8-4. The Tanners are now 16-2 on the season, 11-2 in the league. And Hamilton-Wenham baseball keeps winning. They beat Ipswich 4-2 yesterday. The Generals are 12-7 on the season. The Salem News Today features their weekly baseball column by Matt Williams. And there's all kinds of North Shore baseball stats as well in today's paper. This is North Shore Today, giving voice to the North Shore, the area's only daily news and sports podcast. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell, hoping you have a great Wednesday. North Shore Today Extra is next.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
This is North Shore Today Extra. Today we're going to hear from Peabody Mayor Ted Betancourt and Peabody School Superintendent Josh Fidella as they spoke last night, opening up a school committee meeting to discuss the budget issues and concerns facing the Peabody schools.
Every budget is a challenge. Every budget presents some frustrations and opportunities, but more frustrations, it seems, lately. And just to kind of give everybody an understanding of where I'm at before Dr. Vidal and I even really got to look at our budget, there were a number of increases that we were hit with right off the bat that are typical, but these were much more than in past years. First was health insurance. This year, health insurance went up across the board. We have Blue Cross Blue Shield went up 9.95%. That's by far the biggest health insurance increase that I've ever dealt with. That, to give you some understanding of the number, it's about a $1.6 million increase to the budget right off the bat. And to give you a sense of what the tax impact on that is, that's about $65 to $70 tax increase just on health insurance. Last year was 7, and that was a significant increase over years past. This year, 9.95%. Again, pretty startling, and obviously impacts when we start to look at things. Two other increases this year that were significant, that were non-discretionary, those are just, again, bills that we get that we have to pay. There's no negotiating, there's no ability to kind of get a sense of what we're looking at until we get the bill or until we get the notice from the company. The next one is our Essex Tech Vocational School. That has gone up every year, but it hasn't been to the degree it did this year. This year, the Essex Tech bill went up $700,000, over $700,000. Again, that's non-discretionary. We just get a number from the Essex Tech board, and then it's deducted from the number of Chapter 70 money that comes to the city. So $700,000 plus increase right there. Retirement, again, non-discretionary. We get a bill every year from our retirement authority, and that went up over $500,000 on those three items. One item that did go up significantly, and it's always the biggest budget driver, is salaries. Those were negotiated, certainly negotiated by me, Dr. Vidala, and our team. But with the 3% increases that were across the board, as well as some steps and lanes increases, Our salary line went up $5 million approximately, both school and city side. So just to kind of give you some sense of it, between those four items, and there's others that go up every year, but those four big items, we're looking at $8 million right then and there. But the big problem that happened this year is that our state aid numbers did not match what has happened in years past. So every year we get state aid, which is two items primarily, Chapter 70 for education, then what's called unrestricted general government aid, which is called UGA money. That comes to cities and towns for their city-side operational budget. Last year, we got a $4.6 million increase over the year before. And the year before that, it was over an $8 million increase. But last year, we got a $4.6 million increase over last year. This year, we got a $1.4 million increase over last year. So a $3.2 million reduction in the number from last year. That is pretty devastating to any operational budget. We don't have ARPA money anymore. For a few years, we were able to rely on ARPA money to fill some gaps and make some investments in our community. That's the American Rescue Plan that was provided to cities and towns to give some ability to withstand COVID and make some, do some projects and, again, fill some holes where they may be and make some investments where they may be needed. That money is no longer available to cities and towns. On the school side, there was the ESSER money. I'm not sure the Ackerman Elementary Secondary funding of some sort, similar to ARPA, but on the school side. Emergency relief on the school side. Yep. Emergency relief. Again, because of COVID, cities and towns, their school systems were given what's called ESSER money, and we no longer have that available. So in a lot of ways, it was a perfect storm that has come together this year where our state aid increase went down over $3 million. We no longer have ARPA money to help us out. We no longer have ESSER money to help us out. And then we had the biggest health insurance increase that we've ever had as a city, at least that I'm aware of, and other bills went up higher than expected. So that's put a little bit more pressure and created more frustration on our end. I've been meeting regularly with the police, fire, DPS, our library, all of our city departments to try to make some tough decisions and work through some difficult difficult numbers. And I know Dr. Vidal has been meeting with his team, his administrative, his staff, principals, teachers, everybody to try to figure out how we can make this work and eliminate as much as we can some of the progress that we've made over the years, because I know we've been able to make some real good progress. But this year is a concern to me. The tax impact is pretty hard hitting, and that's where we're going to have to try to make some difficult decisions here. So I'll open that up, turn it over to Dr. Vidala. I expect we'll get into things quite a bit today, look at some items tomorrow as well. Our public hearing right now is scheduled for next Tuesday, which would be May 28th, probably at 6 p.m. or somewhere around there, right here at the library. So we get some work to do in order to get everything ready for the public hearing. We'll also, at that time, following a vote, we will turn that over to the City Council. It has to be filed with the City Council by June 6th for there to be the public hearing on the City Council side, which right now is scheduled for the June 18th and June 20th. So with that, Dr. Vidal, I know it's been difficult for you and your team, but I'll turn it over to you for your comments.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So I don't usually do this, but I'd like to just take a couple minutes to provide some context. And I've had quite a bit of time over the past week to reflect back on where we've been and how we got here. So I just want to thank everybody for coming out tonight. We see a lot of support out there, and we appreciate you, and definitely want to let everyone know how much we appreciate you and how much we support you. At the end of the day, a budget is really a value document. It's a statement to our community about what we value. And that budget is really boiled down to one number, and that number is made up of two items: Chapter 70 funding, which is our money from the state, and the municipal contribution, which is our money from the city. I think back to 5 years ago, where we were pre-pandemic, we had a $77 million budget, $21 million from Chapter 70, $56 million from the city, and 880 staff members were in that appropriated budget. When I came on, we were struggling. The pandemic had hit, and we were working on a budget with a lot of unknowns. Our schools are very different than they were 5 years ago, and I think that we made some decisions along the way that I think are good decisions, and I'd like to see those remain. In 2020, our elementary teachers had 4 preps a week, even though the contract stated they should have 5. The first thing we did with the ESSER money in 2020 was hire library paras to make sure that as we came back from the pandemic, our teachers had the support that they need and the collaboration that they needed. We also made sure that we put the kindergarten paras into that ESSER funding so that we could save their jobs. That's been everything that we've done over the past 5 years. We've used that ESSER funding to build capacity, to support our staff, to infuse technology into our classrooms. Our elementary schools had little to no technology in 2020. Now every room has a Promethean board. Our kids have one-to-one laptops. They have Chromebooks they take home. We've done so much for our kids, and I think that we need to make sure that we continue to do that. We continue to support our students. We've been fortunate that the Student Opportunity Act has been a big increase of state funding for us. This year, we're going to get $37 million compared to 2020 when we had $21 million. The remainder of our budget needs to come from the municipal contribution. And at the end of the day, I want to continue the work that we've done. The mayor mentioned that we've had the collective bargaining agreements. We made a healthy investment in our staff, and it's paid off. The culture is great this year. We've had an incredible amount of professional development, and we've gotten some new curriculum along the way, and I really think that we're in a great place to move forward and to do right by our students and to do right by our staff. So I'm urging everyone to find a way to fund this budget. We put everything together. The process was great this year. The principals came in and they presented to the school committee this year for the first time in many years, and their asks were reasonable. Their asks were what we need to support our kids. That came up with a big number, $98 million, a little over 98.7 actually. And our big budget drivers of health insurance, out-of-district transportation, and out-of-district tuitions are up $2.5 million. And that was in that that $98 million budget. Last week, we came together and we said, we need to reduce the budget. We need to reduce the budget, but we need to do it in a way that does not cut people. We're going to cut things. We're going to tighten our belts. We're going to find other funding sources. And we successfully cut $2.5 million to get to a budget of $96 million with an ask of the city of $59 million. If we can't fund this budget, this is a good budget, and I know that we need to make more cuts, more reductions. If we can't fund this budget, I ask that we go to what the state has put out as the minimum contribution, which would be a $58 million commitment from the city and $37 million from Chapter 70. If you fund us with the minimum, we can save everybody's job, we can make sure that we support our teachers, and we continue the great work that we're doing. So I'm hoping that we can get to a number tonight or tomorrow, definitely by next week, where we can support a great budget that continues the work that we're doing, that supports the wonderful teachers that we have, and we've had these amazing elected officials who have supported every step of the way all the great things that we've done. And, you know, I just want to make sure that we're able to continue to do that. And I know that we have a tremendous amount of support around this table. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Vidala. Just a couple items in response to that. The minimum contribution from the city factors in a number of things. The city of Peabody on the city side, I just want to make sure is known, pays for all the school nurses, all of their equipment, all of their needs comes from directly from the city side. It has nothing to do with this budget. That is very rare. Most school districts, the nurses are paid through the school budget. But we, for some reason, over the years, certainly something I inherited, it's always been on the city side. And that's a significant budget. The second would be a few years ago, we moved our facilities department, our custodians, our maintenance was moved over to the city side. So the city pays for that budget, which is 10 maintenance people, 30 plus custodians that go right from the city side of the budget. I think most school budgets would have the custodians within their own budget, but we take that responsibility on the city side. And then the third is the debt service. And I think most cities and towns pay for debt service, but the debt service is made up of the New Higgins Middle School, which I and all of us fought very hard for, which has been tremendous for our city and for our students, our educators. The new center school, or new Welt School, which I call a brand new school. It is a rehab addition, but to me, it's a brand new school. And of course, now we're fighting for the new high school, which will really set up our city very well. So all of those, that debt is paid through the city side. And again, I think most cities and towns pay for it that way. But I did want to point that out because in terms of the budget number, this budget here, the $98 million, does not include school nurses and does not include custodians and other administrative positions that would be on the city side, excuse me, on the school side. There's been no unreasonable requests made. All the requests that came in from the principals and their teams were solid. I think all of us want to try to help, want to try to make those investments when we can. But this is a budget that we can't make those investments in right now. Hopefully there's some supplemental or there's something in the future that can help us as the school year goes on. But right now, unfortunately, this is one of those budgets, like everybody has their budget at their homes. If things work out well and you have a little extra money, you can make investments or do repairs or do things you need to do. Unfortunately, this is a budget that we have to tighten our belt a little bit and make some difficult decisions.
Again, that is Mayor Ted Betancourt, along with School Superintendent Josh Vidala, speaking at last night's school committee meeting. And that aired on Peabody Public Access TV. The entire meeting can be viewed on Peabody Community Access TV. Thanks for listening to North Shore Today. Again, have a great Wednesday. Stay cool. This is MSONewsSports.com.